Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Do the show, bitch.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Do the show, bitch!
We are halfway home on a Thursday here on Ben and Woods this morning, and wanted to take this opportunity to welcome to the world.
Let's go,
little Mila O'Grady, who has made it. What in the world is this?
Paul didn't listen all the way through, apparently. No. To this.
Is this
poignant Irish song?
This is... Is that... Can you redo and find a nice, sweet Irish
Paul,
blessing
what is,
song?
What is the name of this band that you have picked for us here?
What was that song? That was freaking...
It was...
Wake Me Up?
Yeah, by Avicii.
Because they also have Wake Me Up.
Let's just do... He picked a band called the Red Hot Chili Pipers for our tribute. Just find an old Irish. God!
That's genius!
We blew this whole thing.
They're a bagpipe band called the Red Hot Chili Pipers.
Hold on.
That's genius. I'm sorry, I'm good. I'm good now. This is not my. This is the Brian O'Grady segment. This is not my segment. Go, please. I'm good. No, I'm good. So talk. So I will be okay if you talk.
I'm waiting for a kind and sweet and loving Irish song.
To be fair, I played you as much as I listened to
it. You played about 4
it.
Seconds. I go, that's pretty good. And then it kicks in, and then David Guetta starts in.
Based on some of the other titles for the Red Hot Chili Pipers.
Oh, God.
That's kind of their shtick.
Well, again, warmest congratulations to our buddy Brian O'Grady, his wife, O'Grady. They've had their baby. There's no pictures yet. I'm probably not even supposed to announce it, but I thought I'm going to anyway. I was very happy for the O'Grady family. Got to know Brian a lot last year. Big part of our show. Just a great human being.
Did he make it back?
So, that's
no,
what I
because he's coming from Japan
that's
to
what
Florida.
I wanted to update you guys on the other day on Delaney's Instagram. She said, it's baby time. And it was just a picture of the hospital bed. So she was in there in labor. And we had talked yesterday, you know, labor can take a very, very long time. So I hit him up yesterday and I said, are you on a plane? And he goes, I'm about to land in Dallas. Mila joined us about 3 a.m. Central Time. 7 pounds, 13 ounces. Her and Lainey are perfect. It went as smooth as possible. And I said, dude, I am so happy for you. And he said, thank you. I FaceTimed for all of it. I can't wait to get there. And I said, well, now the real fun starts. You're going to love being a dad so much. And so I got his address, going to send him something from the show for those guys. Just so happy for them. And wanted to do a little tribute. Welcome to the world, Mila O'Grady. You got great parents there. And I'll read you a little Irish blessing to you know, bring it in for you. A newborn babe. And this is where I need some music, Paul. Give me some of that Red Hot Chili Peppers again.
Just play it slowly.
Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah, give me some Red Hot Chili Peppers for the Irish blessing. Because what says Ireland more than the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Bagpipes more Scottish than...
I don't know.
Those are great.
A newborn babe brings light to the house, warmth to the heart. Hearth? And joy to the soul, for wealth is family, and family is wealth. Everybody dance now.
There's no more joy to the soul that I can get than from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Everybody dance now.
They're not bad. They're not bad.
I want to hear the whole catalog.
Congratulations to the O'Grady's. It's a perfect announcement. Probably just like you dreamed it up. If you could pick the announcement you would get for your little daughter. Oh my God.
No. This is Journey from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yes.
May strong arms hold you, caring hearts tend you, and may love await you at every step. Young Mila. May all the blessings of our Lord touch your life today. May he send his little angels to protect you on your way. Such a wee little fit sent from above, someone so precious to cherish and love.
My advice to little Mila, don't stop believing.
Oh, God. Listen to this. Can you put this in an audiogram? We'll send it over to the O'Grady's.
I'm going to send them this whole segment.
I'm sure they're going to get a kick out of it laying in the hospital bed, but very happy for them, man. They are such great people, and they're going to have a ball. They're going to have a ball. Kill Kings of Leon.
Oh, man.
So they just do classic songs with bagpipes.
A bagpipe twist.
Here we go. It's even better than I imagined.
Oh, God.
Hey, I'm in a band. Oh, yeah? What's the name of your band? With Red Hot Chili Peppers. You're in the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
No.
We're in the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We do cover songs and we throw bagpipes in them. Really? All right. Well, see you later.
My side hurts. I'm in pain.
Book these guys for the opening for Snapdragon Stadium.
They have 40,000 followers on Twitter. They're at Chili Peppers.
Bro, they got almost 200,000 monthly streamers on Spotify. They're huge.
This is the greatest. Something about those bagpipes, man, they get me every single time. You ever been to like a funeral when they have the bagpipes? You start weeping.
Amazing Grace on a bagpipes.
Oh, yeah. It just kills me.
They do that. Scotland and the golf course too. The bagpiper,
they
sunset.
Do?
Yeah.
They don't
Very
do
traditional.
That at Twin Oaks.
No, they don't.
They should. That's what I want to do. I want to join a course that has a bagpiper every time I'm about to tee off. That is phenomenal. Oh, my God. There's a band, Pauly. Look up the band. It's so good. Hayseed Dixie. Instead of AC/DC, it's Hayseed Dixie. I heard him 20 years
just
ago.
It's like banjo and jugs, but doing AC/DC.
Okay. And it will knock you out.
Oh, I just
out.
Saw a picture of him. Wow.
Hayseed Dixie?
Yeah.
Play some. It's unreal.
See, now, you think that we plan all this?
We didn't. We planned none of that.
Yeah, I never expected to wake up this morning to even learn about the existence of the Red Hot Chili Peppers or Hayseed Dixie.
I just said, find some Irish music and I'll read a nice little blessing over it. Was actually.
Is this just fantasy?
Wait, this is. That's Queen.
This is Hayseed Dixie.
Yeah, but they're doing Queen. Play an AC/DC song. I didn't know they branched out.
Oh, they do. Yeah, there's only like a couple.
Well, obviously, the Red Hot Chili Peppers play far beyond the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, here we go. Phenomenal.
Living easy, living free, season ticket on a one-way ride. Asking nothing, leave me be.
Highway to hell.
Taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason.
Oh my God.
Don't need here we go. Yeah. They have a 2001 album, a hillbilly tribute to AC/DC.
Party time. Here my friends are gonna be there too. I'm on the highway to
wow. Phenomenal. What was Trevor's song, Hell's Bells? Do they do Hell's Bells?
Oh, man.
They do.
Let's hear it.
Is that a bicycle?
No, it's like you're like a little...
It's like, hello, is anybody here?
Hello.
I need to pick up my dry cleaning.
God. Listen to that. Now entering from the bullpen. Pretty badass still, right? That's hard. That song is awesome. Listen to this.
I'm a rolling thunder.
Oh, wow.
Rain.
All right.
Yeah, I'm coming out like a hurricane. Me.
I don't think Trevor Hoffman makes the Hall of Fame if he comes
no.
up to this.
No.
I just, there's a difference.
Oh, man. That was great. That was phenomenal.
Back in Black, just spot on. Sounds just like the original.
I would go see them.
We got Eno Saris coming up at the bottom of the hour, 8:35. I want to bring back a little bit from earlier why I felt actually encouraged by yesterday's loss, more than a lot of the wins I've seen so far this season. Don't you feel, Woodsy, that... We were all had a lot of consternation, despite the Padres' really incredible starts, that everything was like, this doesn't feel sustainable. Yesterday's loss, I actually felt pretty good about. So we'll talk about that coming up. I do want to get to a little Nick Martinez, and did he pitch himself out of the starting rotation yesterday? I asked that question as well. Coming up next with Ben and Woods, let the Pipers take you into traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Padres hit some long outs yesterday. Three homers and some deep balls. Ha-Sung Kim nearly had a home run. Will Myers nearly tied it in the ninth inning. He also made a phenomenal catch. Really spectacular there to rob Jason Hayward Woodsy in the top of the seventh inning. That game could have gotten out of hand if not for a nice defensive play there by Will Myers. And it's for those reasons why the 7-5 loss to the Cubs not only doesn't really bother me that much, it actually made me feel better about the team going forward. The first month of the season, I love the record, but it didn't feel sustainable. The way they were winning games, you know, you had to get great pitching, you had to sneak out one run victories, you had to count on Manny Machado and Eric Hosmer every single time to carry you offensively. Getting two home runs from Luke Voit, getting contributions from deeper parts of your lineup, having see guys drive the ball, get a little unlucky, had a lot of guys on base, had 13, 11 runners left on and two double plays. For me, that game was not any reason for consternation if you're a Padres fan, even though you don't want to lose 2-3 to a team that's not good like the Cubs.
You know, the every team is going to have that game where the bullpen kind of lets them down. And I think our pitching has really carried us to this point this season. You are going to have those games. Luis Garcia has been great, period, the end. He has. He's been great this season. Had a bad day. Two games in a row. You know, he pitched the day before. You're going to need that, though, down the stretch. And I expect him fully to have a great outing the next time because that's what he's shown us this year. There's got to be more than one or two guys, though, in the pen that you can rely on. But, you know, Ben, I feel the same way because there was a massive sense of relief the other night when the lineup came out in the game we did win, where we got Voit back and we got Myers back. You looked at that and you thought, that looks like a professional baseball team's lineup, okay? You got your big slugging DH. You have your super talented right fielder back. Hopefully he can get on a hot streak. Gives you hope, and it makes you go, yes, that looks good. Then yesterday came around, and you saw some contributions from Luke Voit, and you thought, all right, now we're coming around. Problem is, you want to win that game. You battled to win that game. You fought to win that game. The bullpen lets you down. It happens. I saw a stat, though. This is where it gets a little bit dicey. Stats on our outfield right now as it's currently constructed going into play yesterday, Benny. Last in Major League Baseball in batting average, 27th in on-base percentage, last in slug, last in total bases, tied for 24th with home runs. So there's got to get some production. Hopefully Will can help that. He can help get those numbers back up. Trent Grisham has got to start hitting at some point. And, you know, Jerickson Profar, it's good to see him break out a little bit, get a few more knocks in this series. But, yeah, you're just going to need more production there.
Yeah, Will went 0-for-5 yesterday. But I think there's value in sending guys to the plate that, at the very least, the opposing pitcher knows.
Of course.
If I make a mistake, I'm going to be in trouble here. And so they gotta be fine and locked in. Honestly, no offense, when you put Jose Azokar in your outfield, when you have Matt Beatty out there, pitchers
doesn't strike a lot
of pretty
fear.
Much
yep.
Yeah, they're gonna get on base, you know, they're gonna get a hit, they may even run into one occasionally. The pitcher's not sitting up there going, man, if I lay one in here, I'm gonna get hurt badly. Luke Voit, when he goes up to the plate, I don't care how badly he misses on a swing, when you've got a guy who can swing that hard and you know if he hits it, it's going, that's stressful pitching for the pitcher. Keep him stressed. The longer you keep him stressed, the better it is for your lineup. So, you know, it was a deeper lineup yesterday, and I think you saw that the Padres could at some point be you know, a better offensive team. Will they be the best offensive team in the league without Fernando Tatis Jr.? No. Eventually, though, with Tatis and when some of these guys get a little hotter, they're going to have plenty of offense, I think, Woods, to do what they want to do. Now, will the pitching continue to thrive the way it has? We saw Nick Martinez yesterday. I feel bad. I was hoping he'd have a good start, not because it's going to make the decision more difficult about what to do. I just didn't want it to appear as though, well, you had a bad start, so you're out of the starting rotation. Sorry, Nick. I don't think that's really the case. He was probably destined to be bumped out of the rotation with Blake Snell set to return in the next run through anyway.
How bad was his start?
It wasn't horrible.
Because when you look at the line, yeah, five earned runs is not ideal. Four hits over four innings, struck out eight. Was it a bad start?
It was let's just say the Cubs made the absolute most out of what they got
right
against Nick Martinez yesterday. And the Padres didn't make the most out of their opportunities against the Cubs. You'll have games like that. The Cubs left three runners on the entire game. Padres left 11. You're going to lose most of the time when that happens in a Major League Baseball game.
Yeah, Nick Martinez was kind of at least our pick, and a lot of our listeners as well saying the same things and tweeting the same thing. As the guy that is, you know, and my beloved miserable Padre fan, you know, made this point yesterday. Hey, like Nick Martinez. Like him a lot. Like him the first time through the order. It's good. First time through the order guy. Perfect. I mean, every team needs one. Every team's got to have that guy. Perfect for like a spot start, swing man, you know, three-inning guy. It's great. It's great. I mean, has he earned the right to be in the starting rotation? Here's the thing, though, man. Keep him throwing. Keep him ready. Because as we know, like every other team has it, man, you're going to lose guys. Guys are going to get tweaks. They're going to tweak their back. They're going to tweak their neck. They're going to need 10 days off or whatever it is. Ben, it's nice to have that depth there. He's a depth piece, I think. And I think yesterday showed, hey, man, go out three innings, give us everything you got, and we'll do that a couple times a week. We'll call it a day, piggyback you with Blake Snell or something, and have a day.
I like the piggyback idea. I mean, a guy who is effective one time through the order is the perfect candidate for a piggyback.
No question.
You know, you bring in Snell first, and you give him as much as you can. Hey, you give me six? Great, Blake. That's fantastic. We've got now Nick Martinez to come in for the next three and give the bullpen a rest this day.
Yep, 100%.
I like that. I really do like that strategy if the Padres want to use it going forward, and that'll allow them to keep guys like Taylor Rogers and Robert Suarez and Steven Wilson and Luis Garcia fresh, where he doesn't have to pay back-to-back days. Now, you should be able to pitch back-to-back days if you're a high-leverage, late-inning reliever. I don't know whether there was anything, you know, the struggles for Luis Garcia yesterday had anything to do with the fact that it was back-to-back days, but you'll have to send those guys out there less if you get a couple of long men. You got Chris Matt, who's really a solid long man already out of your bullpen. You've got Stammen. You add a piggyback option like Martinez, and you really can save a lot of those bullpen bullets for when you really, really need them. I like that plan. I don't mind Mackenzie Gore on that plan for a while either. I know.
I hate it. That's the one
I also hate sending him back to AAA.
I do too.
Why would you have one of your, and I think he is clearly one of your top pitchers right now. Why would you not have him with your team?
If you want him to be a starter, why are you making him into a long reliever? Fine. You can start the fifth. It's not the same as preparing as a starting pitcher. That's not the same thing.
It's not.
I don't want to make him, after everything he's been through, some of it self-imposed, some of it not, some of it, you know, the way of the world.
Which of the five veteran established starters, right, then, do you ask to...
I don't.
Come in and
I go
later
six,
after
I go,
Mackenzie
I go
Gore, though.
Six-man rotation, I guess.
All right. Then what do you do? Musgrove says, it's hard to get in a groove when I'm pitching once a week, which is what a six-man rotation is. There's off days. Probably have two off days. They have an off day today, an off day on Monday. If they were in a six-man rotation, that means Joe Musgrove it's an eight-day stretch between starts. That's not a way to be successful. You don't keep your best pitchers on the shelf for 8 days, 7 days.
You don't turn a potential controllable ace pitcher that's a part of your future into a long reliever in his first, after a few weeks of having success.
It's a mentality, though. You're just not a long reliever. He's your second starter in a game. You have two starters. You have starter one, and you have starter two.
That's not how it works.
But if you think it is...
Is Nabil Crismat a second starter?
If he wants to be, he can be starter number two.
I don't know, man.
But you know, here's what the difference is. When Nabil Crismat goes into a game, it's always because something went wrong for the Padres.
Correct.
Generally.
Yeah, it feels like it.
When Mackenzie Gore, if you did a piggyback, he knows he's coming in. You're coming in. It may be the fifth or the sixth, but you're coming in after this guy, and we're expecting you to go four innings, you know, to minimum to pitch. We want you to get the rest of this thing done for us. That's a little more like being a starter than being a long reliever like a Nabil Crismat.
Well, so yeah, JPJ tweets in. He says, the problem is that Nick Martinez's role as the swing guy is already occupied by the guy that relieved him, Crismat. He's already that guy. How many of those guys can you carry on a roster? Look, that's a different role. I think Crismat, look, I hate to say it, but I feel like Crismat is not really your swing man. I feel, to be honest, and I hate this term because I have been one, he's kind of a mop-up guy. He's an innings eater. That's what he does. Nobody really does it better. You're down six. You're down five. Hell, you can be up eight. Nabil Crismat, great time for him. He's a bit of a mop-up guy. And Martinez would be more of a piggyback spot start. I don't know. I want to ask Eno about it. He may know some stuff about this.
Good call.
I have no idea. Really don't know.
Eno Saris joining us when we come back. We'll continue this discussion. Do not go anywhere. Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Follow the San Diego Padres at home and on the go with the Odyssey app. Listen to pregame coverage, in-market play-by-play, Padres podcasts, and more. Download the Odyssey app today to get started. I know we've got Eno standing by, so won't wait any longer. We'll get to him right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Happy Thursday, Padres fans. It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Saris, powered by 7 Mile Casino, San Diego's premier card room featuring California blackjack, poker, and baccarat. Just 7 minutes from downtown.
Yes!
Here's Ben and Woods on the home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, perfect person to join in our discussion here on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline as we welcome back the Eno Saris from The Athletic.
The Eno Saris?
The Eno Saris. Not any of the other ones that are out there.
Read the segment name.
I was going to say The Athletic's Eno Saris, and then I switched it around.
But you didn't read the segment name.
The Eno Saris. Well, the segment name was in the open.
The super polished, yet to be named, Smart Baseball Weekly segment.
I can never quite remember it exactly.
It's written down.
There's so many words.
So, you know, what we were talking about is how to kind of read into the what we've seen from the Padres in this first month of the season, and whether we should be encouraged, whether we feel like it's unsustainable, you know, as they get players back, should we expect a changing of the performance? We're all happy with the record. Really are. I mean, you know, they're on a winning pace that would be over 100 victories. No one's going to complain about that if they can keep it up. The question is, can they keep it up? And, for instance, I was looking at your newly released pitcher rankings, and I don't see any Padres in the top 25 right there. Joe Musgrove at 25 checks in at the end, and that makes me think, does that mean that the good pitching we've seen from the Padres is not something that will be sustainable over the course of the season?
No, not at all. I mean, I think Joe Musgrove is a really good pitcher. I think top 25 is a good place, and I have Yu Darvish higher than most. So I think that gives you sort of two in the top 40. I like Mackenzie Gore more than some of Padres Twitter, it seems. Nick Martinez, I was just looking, I have a stuff number, you can track, like, you know, by appearance, and his stuff has been getting better. You know, his best appearances by the stuff number, which looks at, you know, just the physical properties of the pitch, was his last appearance. And generally, he's been trending upwards. So, you know, I think that they've got the pitching. The hitting has been going good. You know, it's funny. I was just looking at this. I was thinking, oh, man, Eno made a bad call when it came to Jerickson Profar early on. because I said that he had stopped chasing and that number was meaningful in the beginning. But it's there's a couple of things here that are interesting. When you have a meaningful number in a small sample, you still want to regress that number. You still want to use league average about half the time. And what happened was, as soon as I said that he stopped chasing and it was believable, Jerickson Profar started chasing again.
Yeah, chasing bad.
And then the other thing that I was thinking about is like, the overall league is the offense is down so much that it may seem like the Padres' offense is only okay. And this is amazing to me. Jerickson Profar's overall batting line right now is 10% better than league average.
Wow. That's actually staggering to me.
So a 187 batting average, 313 on base, 402 slugging is 10% better than league average. So he's still, I was right and I was wrong. Like, he's still being a productive player. It's just in the context of a league that has kind of fallen apart a little bit offensively. So, you know, I don't really see any problems. I think this is a good team. And, you know, I think Ha-Seong Kim's emergence and Nick Martinez's emergence, a couple guys in the bullpen have stepped forward, and that's exactly what you need out of a good season.
You know, Biggie said it best, mo money, mo problems. Now, it's not something I've been able to experience yet, but mo money in this case, mo pitchers, mo problems with the San Diego Padres. We've got seven guys, with Snell coming back, with Clev coming back and looking okay. I mean, looking good. And you know, you look at it and you go, I got seven guys for five slots. Great problems to have. Still got to figure out, because our kind of theory is, look, I don't know that Bob Melvin can go to Mike Clevenger and say, hey, I know your contract's up at the end of this year. Do you mind moving to the bullpen to piggyback on top of somebody else? Right? That's not how guys make money. And I think that these guys are veterans. They're established. They're going to have problems with it. And you just said you like Mackenzie Gore. We all feel he deserves a spot in the rotation. What in the world do you do? You've been around baseball. You've talked to enough starting pitchers to know there's not too many of them that are like, yeah, hell yeah, I know I'm pitching well. Move me to the bullpen. I'd love it.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think that, Mackenzie Gore has a great fastball and slider. The fastball has really good shape. The slider is good. He has pretty good command of both. That's a great foundation. You know, as much as I don't like, you know, finagling with youngsters' service time or whatever,
yep,
I think you could actually make an okay case to Mackenzie Gore being like, hey, man, this was an amazing start. You were exactly what we needed. You were everything that we needed. But, like, you could work on the changeup and the curve a little bit. You know, like, you know, those two pieces aren't as good as your other two. And we've got six excellent, you know, major league starting pitchers. So we're going to send you down for a little bit. You're probably going to be back up. You know, like, you'll be back up. It's just, you know, it's just you got crowded. So I think you make that case to Gore and you give him a big attaboy. And you know, it's disappointing to him, but he also, you know, banked five really good starts and has something to work on and will be really hungry to come back. And if you give him something to work on and say, okay, let's refine that, you know, change up command and see if we can get that curveball crisper, then maybe he comes back as an even better pitcher.
Wow,
because he's so hungry.
Mackenzie to the minors. I mean, I see it. I understand the explanation.
It makes perfect sense.
I also know that the second anyone has a bad outing and Mackenzie's tearing it up in AAA, they're going to hear about it.
You know,
sure.
You got 50-plus years of no championships. You got the Dodgers 80 miles to the north. People, they're rabid and not wanting to listen to or watch any BS anymore. I think Padre fans have reached their, you've seen it plenty on Twitter. They've reached their boiling point. You know, not everything's going to be perfect. I think there's some understanding of that. But yeah, man, I think there's a lot of guys at least pitching for their reputation, at least on Twitter, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. I mean, the only other option that I can think of, and Blake Snell had a really good outing. I actually have some minor league stuff numbers, and Blake Snell, in his one outing in the minor leagues, had the best stuff plus of the entire league for the season. But it also came in 50 pitches, 54 pitches. So what you could say to Blake Snell is, hey, we're going to ease you back in.
Ooh, the easing back in. I like that. Because we've seen Snell go 50 pitches in an inning and a third. So I'm his biggest fan, but that dude will throw 35 in the first.
Six up, six down, and it was 53 pitches somehow.
Yeah, dude.
So, I mean, in that case, I guess you go to a six-man rotation and you say to Snell, like, we're going to ease you in and you're going to be, you know, a three-inning guy at first. And then you're going to – I think that would be a really amazing kind of duo with Clevinger and Snell because, you know, Clev didn't go that deep in his last start. And, you know, if you took him out earlier and had Snell, that's kind of like a crazy kind of righty-lefty duo there. That would be kind of hard on the hitters, I think. So you could sell it that way. The one problem with that is, so now you have seven slots dedicated to your starting rotation. You're gonna feel it somewhere in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna end up like pitching Snell in a blowout or something.
Right. That's the other thing. Yep. That you don't want to do. That's why we have Nabil Crismat,
like
that's, though.
That time when Joe Musgrove came in as the mop-up guy last year because they had no one else.
And missed a start.
And wasted all the great, you know, all that great outing. Eno Saris from The Athletic is with us. Eno, I want to ask you about the ball. It seems to be a huge topic of conversation. Just this series, Frank Schwindel, I thought, had a walk-off or a grand slam in the ninth, died at the warning track. Luke Voit hit balls that I thought were second deckers that are wall scrapers. But then, you know, you see one and it takes off the bat of Eric Hosmer and goes out. It's almost unpredictable. Is there anything like the numbers? You talked about the offense being down. Is it the baseball? Can we ever really determine if that's what it is?
Yeah, when we looked into it on The Athletic with Ken Rosenthal, you know, the thing that's interesting is, yes, it's the ball, drag is up, and that's a big deal. But if you look at the parks that added a humidor, they're all down more than the parks that already have a humidor. And so my theory is that when you kind of take the water out of a ball, and that happens when you're transporting it, you fly it, you drive it, you know, it's, you know, in transport from Costa Rica to Missouri and then Missouri to the ballpark. When that happens, it's drying out. And then when you rehydrate it, it might be sitting on a shelf or sitting in a box, and then it'll rehydrate kind of lumpy. Like, think about that. Like, think about taking the water out of a ball and then putting water back in. And what's happening is the seams are then the weak point on the ball. So if you're rehydrating and putting water back in, the seams are going to go higher. And when the seams go higher, the ball doesn't fly as far. And then it could also rehydrate in kind of weird lumpy ways. And that's why the pitchers are saying the balls are different from ball to ball. So I think it's an inner, and that's what makes it complicated. Because if it's an interaction between the humidor and the balls, the humidor is going to act differently relatively going forward, right? Like as the weather gets wetter, the humidor is going to remove water from the balls. So there's like this ongoing interaction between the humidor and the balls. And it's hard to just blame everything on the ball and say, this is the ball we have now. In August, we could just see a regular season in terms of balls flying out.
You know, the seams in high school and adult ball are very high. And I still gave up a ton of home runs, you know. So I don't know if even I buy this theory. These guys, you're watching on a daily basis. And our buddy Brian O'Grady does a podcast too, and he was talking about how home runs, it's seemingly they're almost villainized now by Major League Baseball, which doesn't make a lot of sense. They are working. We all know that they're working to maybe try to eliminate the three true outcome: the hit, or the home run, the walk, the strikeout. What is your overall? You watch a ton of baseball. What has been your overall thoughts of the product as a whole, 30,000-foot view, the baseball product as a whole this season, pitching and hitting?
I think it's in an awkward – it's in like
it's
a
awkward.
Teenage phase.
Yes, I agree. That's a great word for it.
It's in like puberty. The problem is that I think that some of the decisions they're making are good for the goal, and the goal is to reduce the strikeout rate and increase the balls in play. And so, you know, I wrote a piece about swinging, and one of the things that was very interesting, I talked to Theo Epstein, who's kind of like the guy who's now in charge of like the rule changes and sort of thinking about how to get baseball where they want it to get. And he said that if you reduce the amount of homers, the incentive is to swing. And if you think about it, if there's a ton of homers, 2019, Alex Bregman said, I only swing at things I can homer
yep.
off of, right? And that makes sense in 2019 because every ball you put in the air is going to be a homer. Not every, but, you know, like you're going to be rewarded by hard fly balls. So now you fast forward to this year and you're taking that same swing and you're waiting for that one pitch and you get that one pitch and you swing at it, you think you hit a homer and you get to the warning track. What it's going to incentivize is, you know what, next time I'm going to shorten up and maybe swing a little bit more often, maybe cover the zone better, maybe get a single because the homer that I was going for is just so much harder to get right now.
Wow.
And so if you incentivize the swing, okay, so that's step one, incentivizing the swing. And there's some evidence that, you know, like swing rates are up a little bit. And so, okay, all right. So swing rates, yeah, we're doing the right thing, except right now the strikeout rate's really high. So they still need to work on that part. And they're gonna do pitch clocks. They're thinking about limiting the number of pitchers you can have on your roster. And then between those two things, you know, and maybe the automated strike zone, they're going to try and reduce the strikeout rate on the pitching side. So then we might come out on the other side where people are swinging more, they're hitting more singles, the bags are bigger, so they're stealing more bags, hitting more triples, and there's no shift. So, like, you know, there's more singles, you know, to the left side of the, I mean, to the right side of the infield. So you could see how, like, we could come out of this and baseball might be better. But right now we're in a kind of an awkward phase.
Eno, as always, good stuff. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
Eno Saris on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Strikeouts are always going to be there because some pitches are just incredibly difficult to hit.
Yes.
I mean, you can't even identify them. Take Jorge Alfaro yesterday in, what, the sixth inning and facing Efros and the pitches that, I mean, almost hit him. I mean, three straight that he swung at there. I think, well, he got one that he laid off and then the other three to strike out. But it wasn't as bad as former Padre Francisco Mejia. Did you see his strikeout?
It was awful.
He swung at a pitch.
Hit him in the hip.
That hit him.
And on the, that was.
I mean, nearly in the groin, and he swung and struck out on it. Because you can't identify the pitches as they're leaving the pitcher's hands. So difficult.
Hitting is so
to
freaking
do so.
Hard, man. It's so hard.
Mm. All right, we'll come back. Final hour of Ben and Woods. Kick it off with some Rindle report,
yeah.
Including the statistical oddities of Christian Yelich.
Are you going to do the thing that we talked about?
The thing.
Oh, yeah.
NFT?
The NFT thing.
One you may be interested in, Ben.
Okay. It's coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.